You're listening to KDNK's Public Affairs Program for Land's Sake. I'm Bill Kite, your host. Today we have with us Sherry Gaynor, author, artist, transformative life coach, feisty female, and friend. Welcome, Sherry.
Thanks, Bill.
You know, I'd a lot rather you tell us about yourself than me doing that. So help us out a little bit about yourself, if you could.
Sure. I have been a Roaring Fork Valley resident for 30 years, which I can't believe and I'm sort of proud of. And I've been working as a psychotherapist here in the Valley for about that long. And I've just been involved in the community in all sorts of different ways through creative process and volunteerism. And that's about it.
Okay, well, that's an humble beginning, and thank you very much. I know there's a lot more behind all that, but we'll get to it in this next in our next 25, 30 minutes. You know, it's been said, and I think this is true of you, it's been said that you have an insatiable curiosity.
That's good. That's a nice way to say it. In other words, I don't take a linear path.
Very good. Yes. Yes. So what does that mean for our listeners here?
I think actually creative people are insatiably curious, and it's part of the nature, right?
That, I think so, yes.
There's always something else to learn or something else to explore, you know, whether that be in creative process or another trail to hike or another river to, you know, paddle on, whatever that is. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't matter what kind of artist you are, whether you're a painter or a poet or a person that does music, whatever it might be.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely a lifelong learner. I'm kind of a sponge, and I'm actually I've got that curiosity about people, and I love meeting people and hearing their stories, and I'm a story collector. I know you're a storyteller.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, collecting stories is great because they can sustain you in times when you really need that little extra boost, can't they?
Yeah.
For sure. You know, I'm sure people would be interested to hear about your book, Creative Awakenings, Envisioning the Life of Your Dreams Through Art. And I think that was published in 2009.
It was.
And it's still going strong, isn't it?
Yeah, it's now in 2015. It went into self-publishing, so it's also a textbook. So it is available on Amazon, and it basically came out of about 10 years of teaching workshops here in the Roaring Fork Valley, as well as at some conferences and things like that. And about 10 years in, I kind of realized that I had a book. And as things go, I had a very small e-list at that time. That would have been 2006. And I noticed that there was an editor from this publishing house that had subscribed. And I thought, wow. And 3 years earlier, I had pitched a book to them. And I got very, very close with that book, which was a different book. And it kind of fell apart at the last minute. And then I pitched this book. And it almost fell apart at the very end. And I actually took a hike up Red Mountain and sat at the top. There was actually a picture of me sitting on the edge. And I screamed, "I am ready." And I thought people thought I was going to jump. Right? You know, but it was like, okay, I'm really ready. And I had 72 hours at that time to put together a last FedEx that would help them understand what I was trying to do, because it was actually a how-to publishing house, and moving into more of the self-help was really out of the box for them. So
right.
It was great.
There's a story, I hope a little bit later in the broadcast here about that last 72 hours and what you were trying to do. You want to tell that now or later?
We can tell it later.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay.
Make sure to come back
sure.
to that one. So it is possible then to have creative awakenings and from people that don't think they're creative, because probably in school somewhere down the line, the teacher said, you can't do that. And they just sort of became a wilted flower as a result.
I work with a lot of wilted flowers, but I call them my smoking volcanoes.
Oh, very good.
Because they're the people that walk through the studio or come to one of my workshops, and I hear the door open, but I don't hear any footsteps, and I turn around and they're usually frozen at the front door, and they say, I'm not creative, you know, and I'm like, that's exactly why I want you to be here. And right. Really, I hope I help people learn that I believe that every person is innately creative. We're born creative beings.
Right.
And if we think back to being children, we were liberated and in magical thinking before someone told us that the elephant couldn't be pink. And
right.
That's really when it starts. And we look down at our painting and we say, what do you mean that the elephant can't be pink? And I have a dear friend who is another artist in the Valley, Linda Drake. And she has a beautiful granddaughter, Emily. And I show this amazing home video of Emily as a little girl standing with her little bunches in her head in front of an artist easel. And she's just got this beautiful mess in front of her on her canvas and watercolor splash everywhere. And her face is kind of covered with paint. And she's taking her brush and she's going, beautiful monsters, beautiful monsters. And she's just telling this whole story about what she's creating. And I show the women in my classes this, and some of them get tearful.
Well, it seems like society, life drags us down, because you look at a kid, I'd love to be with small children.
Yeah.
That's about my speed, you know.
Yeah.
And because they're so excited about life and they're just amazing to listen to. And I've had them ask me questions that blow my mind. And we tend to lose that, unfortunately, along the way. So I think this next question might try to answer that for people. There's a word that I think of that describes what you do very well. And it's called transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're using nature's outdoors and arts and an art's transformative power. But is transformation the same as awakening? Because I think most people have this inside. It just needs to come out.
Yes, I agree. I think we do all have it inside. And, you know, so many of us, I think, you know, we're blessed in the Roaring Fork Valley. We are surrounded by nature. We live in nature. We are outside 12 months a year, 24/7. But a lot of places aren't like that, right?
Right.
And so I think that this idea of awakening is just lighting an ember that lives already inside of us and maybe has kind of been snuffed out by acculturation or education or someone even saying to you, I had a lot of learning disabilities as a kid and no one knew what they were. So they just told you you were slow, right?
Which you already knew.
Right. 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 Yeah. That didn't help my self-esteem.
No.
I can tell you that. But, you know, I think when you can, you know, dust that part off of somebody or just, and then just kind of light a match. We do this one activity that came to me from Clarissa Pinkola Este's book, Women Who Run with the Wolves, and it's called a descansos. Hmm. And descansos are the mile markers you see on the side of the road where someone has lost their life. And so I have the women actually create a descansos of whatever kind that they want that represents the mile markers that they left by the side of their road. And it can be anything, a creative, you know, dance, whatever. And not always for bad reasons. I mean, sometimes it's because we've chosen to be married. We've chosen to take a job. But at a certain point, I think people come to this restlessness, like something's missing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. And I try to tell people they'll come to a storytelling session I might be involved with and say something, and I go, you know, you've got your own story, you know, I could help you tell it, because
right.
Everybody has stories, so many stories inside, and most of them are very interesting. They just don't know how to be so vulnerable as to get it out.
Yes.
And
yeah.
And the more vulnerable you are in a storytelling session, that energy goes out to people and it comes back. And it's a magic thing.
You do
magic with what you do as well. And I'm thinking of words like reawaken, recreate, and rewild.
Mm-hmm.
Because from terms of what you said, and I love this quote, our willingness to honor what is in the deepest place in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And we just have to honor ourselves. And so many of us are, you know, we get down on ourselves. We've been told so many negative things that we listen to, or
right.
we listen to our monkey mind.
Yeah.
And can you talk about the fact that life is a journey and what is calling you? Because that question, if you can ask it to people at the right time, it'll draw that out, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's really the mantra of my practice and my business. And I used to have a bracelet, actually, that said, life is a journey. And on the inside, it said, live in the moment. And but the what is calling you actually comes from a poem by the Terma Collective. And the poem's actually called The Gift.
Okay.
And it's an incredible poem that I found when I was on a road trip, a year-long road trip across country with my ex-husband, and we traveled the United States for a year. And during that time, I was kind of stripped down to what I call skeleton woman, and it was a very unnerving process coming from, like, Sherry, the author, the this, the that, right, to suddenly realizing that I get to just be liberated from all of those titles and stamps. But it was also very unnerving at the same time. And I found this poem. And one of the lines is, in the silence between your heartbeats hides a summons, what is calling you?
That's where that comes from.
That's where it comes from.
And there's an interesting story behind that poem. Could you tell it to us?
Yeah. I had 72 hours to get the copyright for that poem in the book. And it was the early days of Google, you know, but I kept coming up with the same thing, the gift, the Terma Collective, the gift. And I think I was down to 5 hours. And I finally just went back to Google and I just prayed. I was like, okay, so I need this poem to be in the book. This is like really the reason the book was written in so many ways. And finally, I saw one name come up that wasn't in anything before. And I Googled her name and I found out that she was part of a different collective, a man named Bill Plotkin, who's out of Durango, whose book was the only book I took on a solo retreat, which we're going to talk about, I think.
Okay.
And it was stunning. The synchronicity was stunning. And this woman was able to put me in touch with the actual author of the collective poem. And he was actually dying of cancer, and she was not sure that she was going to be able to get him. And all he had was a fax machine available.
Wow.
And we were down to 2 hours at that point. And sure enough, he granted me the permission.
And those kind of things happen too when we just open ourselves up and, you know, whatever happens here happens, but I would love for this to happen. And sometimes you have to kind of empty the basket to...
Right.
to get it filled.
And the book is really about creating intention in your life and how we do dance between synchronicity and action. Like, it's not just wishful thinking, but what steps are we willing to take to meet spirit and the universe and have them meet us?
And that word synchronicity, I read a book about it when I graduated, so to speak, from American Leadership Forum as a senior fellow. That was the title of the book, and it all the way through talks about those, what some people call chance encounters, aren't chance at all.
No, they're
not. It's the universe giving you an opportunity, isn't it?
Absolutely, wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll notice that when you're on vacation, often those are the moments, really, that some of those, in fact, when we traveled for that year, some of the most, I'm looking at a photograph on the wall there of a blues musician, and we were in Mississippi with actually some men. We ended up on the plantation where Jim Fields lives,
uh-huh.
right? Had no idea. Didn't know him. I had bought a book, and I said, I don't care what we do. I just want to go to this crazy place. Sure enough, we spent time with Pine Top Perkins, Big Jack Johnson.
Wow.
I mean, and it's just like that, right?
Yeah. When,
and sometimes we're so in our life, and it's like we have those blinders on, that we forget to take them off.
Staying in our lane too much.
Yes.
Yeah. You're listening to KDNK's Public Affairs Program for Land's Sake. Your love for the land and animals, to me, is evident in what you do with your equine-facilitated psychotherapy and leadership training. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So much of my life, my own personal life, has been informed by animals. And to be totally authentic, I'm going to sit here and say that I lost my beloved animal-assisted therapist, Blue, this weekend, and a lot of you in the community knew and loved him, and I can't even thank you for the posts that you have put on my Facebook page. I haven't been able to respond yet, but I just need to say I never knew what a hero he really was. But I've been bringing the horses into my work and bringing my clients more and more onto the land, getting them out of the four walls and really bringing the love of experiential therapies, which moves us from our linear mind and into our receptive and creative mind, which really allows for creativity and creative innovation. And if you're thinking about the idea of leadership, one of the things that we're learning more and more about in terms of leadership is that innovation and creativity actually brings forward incredibly profound different kinds of leaders.
And most leaders I've discovered in my life never really wanted to be a leader.
Mm-hmm.
They had a calling that came to them, and they answered it because no one else would.
Mm.
And those are, to me, the best kind of leaders, because they're not doing it for ego's sake.
Right.
They're doing it for service.
Right.
They've been given a gift, and I think they know intuitively if they don't use that gift, they're going to lose it.
Right.
It's like the same thing happens to me sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock. My muse knocks on the door and goes, I got something for you here.
Right.
And you can lay there and go back to sleep, or you can get up and write it down. And every time you write it down, it's just one of those catalysts that helps you to write that poem.
Right.
Or do what you need to do that the universe is telling you, hey, it's here for you. You need to claim it.
Yeah.
So the horses, I've been with you out there when you're with your horses, and there's just, it's kind of an amazing synergy happens there.
It's unbelievable.
It is amazing to me.
It's beyond description, that's for sure.
You know, you were telling a story about your 3-day solo to me, I find it very interesting because I had a similar thing happen to me with a bobcat.
Yeah.
Could you tell us?
Sure. I had signed the book contract, and I didn't know this, but you kind of have to sign away your, like, if you literally die, you have to assign somebody to finish your book. And I went into a 3-month writer and painter block because my book also involved painting. And I really thought, like, I'm going to have to. The last thing I ever would have called myself in the first place was a writer. So it seemed like a cosmic joke that I got a book contract in the first place. But I thought I was going to have to call them and say, I can't do this. And Barb, I hope you're listening, but Barb Chambliss said, come to my yurt. I'm going to be gone. It's all yours and you can have it. And so I went up to her yurt and did a 3-day solo. I brought one book, which was Bill's book, Bill Plotkin's book. And I hiked and walked, and I kept seeing these huge footprints, you know, paw prints in the ground. And I thought they were Barb's dog. She had a big golden retriever at the time. And But I never felt unsafe. You know, I was walking through deep scrub, you know, that's kind of high and over your head.
Yes.
And I was not sure when I was leaving there if I was going to be able to complete this, right? But I was sitting on the front porch the day I was leaving, and I was rocking in a chair, and I saw something move out of the corner of my eye over in the scrub. And I thought at first, oh, it's a coyote, but then I realized the movement was really cat-like. And then I looked over again, and sure enough, it was a bobcat playing with a chipmunk that he had just caught. And he was, you know, running up the tree and spinning down the tree. And I just took that as such a deep sign of medicine for me that everything was going to be okay. And sure enough, I went home, and the first painting I painted was called Feisty Female.
All right.
Yeah.
Very, I really like that story. Yeah. I had a similar experience one time camping with a friend up on Huntsman's Ridge in the wintertime. We'd skied up there and skiing around and then spent the night. And in the morning, at the first crack of dawn, just enough light to see, you know, well with, and I felt something still in my sleeping bag in this tree well. Mm-hmm. And I knew something was watching me, and I was on my side and opened my eyes, and about 8 or 9 feet away was this fox. Mm-hmm. Turning its head like a dog does sideways, one side, then the other, just looking at me like, where does this come from? I know this tree. This isn't. And I just lay there, didn't make a motion for the longest. And it was such a wonderful experience that I'll never forget, because nature can teach us so much if we just pay attention.
It's incredible. I worked with a client, and she had come wearing a hat with a buck on it. And during her equine session, down the road walked 3 young bucks with 3 points each, walked off, never saw them again. At the end of her session, when she got her message, they came right back up the road.
I wish we had time. We could tell stories like that
could.
For a long time,
yeah,
couldn't we?
Exactly.
Let's do that around the campfire.
I was going to say, get a fire together.
Let's
awesome.
Do that. That would be so, I mean, again, it's just paying attention.
Yes, it is.
And you got to be paying attention when the universe does call you and wants those gifts you have inside to come out.
And it's slowing down, right?
It is.
It's slowing down enough to be present, to see, to hear, to feel, to notice.
To be human.
And to be human. And our world we're spinning fast now.
We really are. I feel like we're spinning a little bit too fast sometimes.
Yeah.
If someone's really interested in having you help them out, mm-hmm. what do they do?
Oh, you can go to my website. It's sherrygaynor.com. And I have a Facebook page, both personal, professional. And then I also have a free once a month online Facebook Creative Awakenings New Moon Gathering, where we get together online. I do an online stream in my studio showing how I'm working my intention in my journal. And then people are able to post their own things.
So if you're listening, that's how I got onto one of your sites, was just mm-hmm. put your name in there and Googled it.
Yeah.
If you had all the resources you need, money, influence, power, I always like to ask their guests, what would you like to accomplish?
I would not do anything different than I am doing now. It makes me feel emotional. I have been blessed to have a 30-year career of doing what I love.
You know, so many people have a job that they go to and 85% of the people hate. Mm. And some people have a career.
Mm-hmm.
And I think inside of all of us is that calling, like we had said earlier, you know, life is a journey. What's calling you?
Yeah.
And you get that call maybe only once.
Yeah.
And you either respond or you just, you sort of wither up and
It's not easy. It's scary. Yeah. And you never know when you're in business for yourself, but I've tried the 9-to-5 several different times.
And I know people that had a dinner the other night, a friend's birthday, and all he wanted for presents was the friends he invited to that
mm-hmm.
party.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, I work for a few hours a day at my craft. He's mm-hmm. an artist, a musician, and that's what I want to do, and that's when I'm most creative. And the rest of the time, I can't punch a clock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't do that 9-to-5. Like a lot of people seem to be able to do.
Yeah.
It's been a delight
today. Thank you, Bill. Same.
I wish we had more time.
Mm-hmm.
But time does have a way of getting away from us, and that's what's happening here to us now. And I'd like to say to everyone here, you know, we'll be here same place next month, once a month, July 9th at 4:30. Come and tune in to KDNK. And until then, whatever you do to Mother Nature, do it for land's sake.